Hello, I'm Howard Hughes, and this is a special edition, a very special edition of The Unexplained. If I sound a little bit breathless, I am. I've literally just raced from my car after having driven 250 miles this morning and into this afternoon from Liverpool, which is the place of my birth. I've spent the last week in Liverpool on air at Radio City 96.7 and City Talk 105.9, filling in for the legendary Pete Price there. They always allow me to do some of The Unexplained when I'm on air there late at night. And it seemed to go quite well. Thank you very much for your response to that. The weekend following my week on air at Radio City, though, was even more interesting, if that's possible. It was the Beyond Knowledge Conference organized by my friend Dave Truman. I've been building this up and telling you about this for the last several months, haven't I? Now, I don't have a connection with the conference. I'm just interested in the subjects, and I want to support Dave, who's worked so hard on this. And as part of this, I was instrumental in getting Richard C. Hoagland, the man behind Dark Mission, the man behind The Face on Mars, the structures on the moon, and many, many other things, Richard to come to the UK for the very first time to appear in Liverpool last night as I speak these words. That was the night of the 13th of September. And, as he told me just before he went on stage, it was our first meeting face-to-face. We've met many times on the radio. He said, I'm about to blow people's socks off. And indeed, I believe he did. This is the first face-to-face conversation with Richard about his new material. That should be hitting the internet, details of it, very, very soon. And I think within a week or so, it'll also be on Richard's website, enterprisemission.com. But for right now, as far as I'm aware, at 3:08 on Monday the 14th of September, what you're about to hear is exclusive to The Unexplained. This is Richard C. Hoagland talking about his astonishing new material, which is to do with Saturn. Now, Saturn has, according to pictures that Richard showed last night, taken on the 26th of July, has within the B ring of the rings of Saturn some astonishing three-dimensional structures, but that is by no means the entire story, and that would be amazing enough by itself. This all ties into a staggering form of physics. I'm probably using too many superlatives here, but I'm very excited about this. I think it's amazing research material which Richard has done so thoroughly. Ties into a kind of physics called torsion physics, torsion field physics. It is something that can change, the way that Richard explains it, everything. Time, travel, appearing and disappearing. I mean, just about anything that you can imagine. It is staggering. And it's been around, thinks Richard, for a very, 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 very long time. But there's a conspiracy theory tied into it too. The Nazis were playing with this, believes Richard. And he has pictures that show certain things. If you see his presentation, you'll know what I'm saying, and this will appear on his website before very long. That's enterprisemission.com. But the Nazis were using this technology, and a faction may still have this technology now, which can do things we cannot even conceive of. And there is a kind of power struggle going on. It's a staggering presentation that Richard gives. He was on fire last night, I have to say. He spoke for 3 hours without hesitation, without notes, with his pictures, but with total, complete passion. And I was able to get 15 minutes with him, just under 15 minutes with him, as soon as he stepped off the stage. We spoke in a room with not the greatest acoustics, so you're about to hear that. I will process it for use later on an edition of The Unexplained, but I wanted you to hear this now because we, as far as I'm aware, have it first. So coming soon, Richard C. Hoagland. Just to tell you, two special editions from the Beyond Knowledge Conference are coming to you, so there'll be two Unexplaineds which I will release during this week. That is the week commencing today, the 14th of September. I've just got to copy and process and finesse the audio that I've got with people like Steve Bassett and Nick Pope and many others. So they're coming soon. But I wanted you to hear this first and now here in this special short edition. So here is Richard C. Hoagland, exactly as he came off stage last night in Liverpool at the Beyond Knowledge Conference. You promised something that would be absolutely mind-blowing, and I expected something pretty good because it's you. I didn't quite expect what you delivered here tonight, and I want to try in these minutes that we have available to us face-to-face for once, just to explain what it is.
You want me to summarize 3 hours?
No. That wouldn't be fair, and, you know, not even I would do that, although I, you know, in my career I've done things like that before. I've ambushed people, but I won't do that. I'll try and boil it down into a couple of the juicy bits, and I think that your followers need to go to your website, enterprisemission.com, and find out some of the detail behind this.
Yeah, it's not published yet. I wanted to do it here. I wanted to break it in Dave conference first. We're going to spend a week running around England doing measurements at the monuments, which is crucial to continue to confirm this torsion model, which is so important to both the ancient history and what we need to do now technologically.
Okay, so what we have here tonight in Liverpool, and what excited and grabbed me, and I could see everybody in the hall we've just been in, was Saturn, the man who brought us the face on Mars, the man who brought us those revelations about the moon and NASA, is now talking about Saturn having within the rings, the B ring of Saturn, something that is clearly, well, to my eyes and the pictures that were taken on July 26th, not natural, not normal, shouldn't be there.
I'm glad you agree. Because any reasonable observer, when they look at those images, which are official NASA images, can only come to one conclusion. Something artificial was built in the rings of Saturn a long, long time ago. It probably is the reason that the rings of Saturn are so incredibly splendiferous, a word that's not often used, but in this case is totally appropriate. And it probably had to do with a technology that some extraordinarily advanced ET culture was attempting to use at Saturn to do something very important.
So we have here, in the rings of Saturn, a construction of some kind that is geometrically perfect, which shouldn't be there, because the shape and the appearance of this thing, pictures of this thing taken by Cassini, the probe, on the 26th of July. And I thought, okay, well, that's Richard. Here we have another face on Mars here, some more artifacts on the moon, more structures on the moon. This is really interesting, and that'll get him a few headlines, and it's another brick in the wall, really, literally. But much more than that.
I think it's a breakthrough. There's no possible way to explain away this geometry in the B-ring. There's just no way. Once you posit that that is real, it's ancient, it had a purpose, then you can begin to explore what that purpose might have been. You begin to explore implications of people that may now know this physics, that have rediscovered it or back-engineered it, whatever you want to call it, and are using it in some kind of enormous political chess game to threaten the major space powers into doing what they will. And the evidence gathered by Cassini, particularly that tetrahedral, whatever it is, at the edge of the rings, that spaceship-looking thing, to me says we're dealing with an ongoing geopolitical drama that is playing itself out and has many real-world implications, which is why we've got to stop lying to ourselves about what's out there and figure out who is behind it and how it's relevant to our current life today.
Then you got to a stage in the talk. I mean, I'm trying to compress a few fascinating hours into a few minutes here, which is really unfair and really difficult, but let's give it a try. A technology that can affect time, which is fascinating to all of us. The person who says they're not interested in time shifting is telling lies, I think, probably. Yeah. But also something, and this is where I thought, oh no, Dick's coming unstuck here a bit, where the Nazis may have had experiments with this, or may have done experiments with this.
We know they did. We have documented proof. When the wall collapsed, a number of the so-called satellite states opened their files, Czechoslovakia being one. Dr. Joseph Farrell has excellent sourcing about Nazi history and the engineering and political background through the Kammler projects of something called the Nazi Bell, which when you look at the eyewitness testimony of one general in particular who was charged by the Czechs with shooting 60 scientists and engineers at the end of the war as Germany was collapsing to preserve the secret of these experiments, it's clear the Nazis were looking at torsion as a technology that ultimately they hoped would help them win the war. It was called war decisive because it's a technology that kind of follows Arthur C. Clarke's famous maxim. Any sufficiently advanced technology is indistinguishable from magic. I mean, whoever is operating with this physics and this engineering now can run rings around us. And my model says it came from that bifurcation at the end of the war when the Nazis, as opposed to being defeated, took their real toys, went somewhere, and have had 60 years of uninterrupted whatever to develop extraordinarily advanced versions of their primitive experiments at the end of the war.
And they had technology that's absolutely fundamental that you can see there on Saturn, but is fundamental throughout the universe, and as you say, potentially for 60 years, you believe, they have been doing something with it, and perhaps what we call UFOs or things that appear in our skies or weird blips that appear in pictures from moonshots or from shuttle missions. This is what these guys are using.
I think that most of them are this. I think that real aliens are very rare and far between, because the pattern of the sightings, the phenomenology of the UFO phenomena, bespeaks of someone intensely interested in terrestrial affairs. Who would be more interested in directing, controlling, manipulating terrestrial affairs than someone who was a terrestrial who actually wanted to go on and rule the Earth, like the Nazis tried to do?
And that makes a lot of sense for a very basic reason to my very small brain, Dick. The fact of the matter is that somebody, if there was an alien civilization out there and they wanted to dominate everything, well, maybe we'd be a little small and a little too thick, unclever for them. You know, maybe they wouldn't be interested in playing those kinds of games with us.
Why bother? Yeah. If you have the universe at your disposal, why bother? The only people who care about what's going on planet Earth are people on planet Earth. And I think, I mean, look, in the wildest extrapolations of this model, remember during the 60s there was a spate of movies and television shows. I'm thinking of the Bond films. I'm thinking of The Man from U.N.C.L.E. I'm thinking of similar, you know, Get Smart even at some level. And they all talked about a third force that threatened mankind and had to be dealt with by the world governments in collective action. Even during the height of the Cold War, we had Russian agents and American agents collaborating in, I think, the Bond films. No, it was Man from U.N.C.L.E., to defeat Thrush. Was that, as Hollywood is so often, a telegraphed inside message that this, in fact, is the larger geopolitical reality we're facing, trying to deal with, and not very successfully?
But these people, the Nazis for one, got their hands on this technology. Where did they find it? Where was it? How did they find it?
They developed it. It turns out that in 1924, a Nobel laureate named Gerlich, who was an expert in magnetic spin and gravity, began a series of experiments that led him, I think, inevitably into the torsion field. Because it's not that hidden if you know what you're looking at. I mean, in Einstein's relativity, you have to accelerate mass up to near the speed of light to get relativistic time dilation. In torsion physics, all you do is spin a mass. And if you have an appropriate detector next to the spinning mass, it will show you a change in the quantity of time. Kozarev, the famous Russian astrophysicist I talked about, who basically invented this field and was put in the gulag, by the way, by Stalin for decades. And when he came out, he'd had all these insights because he had a lot of time to think. You know, when you're in prison, there's not much else to do but think. He crafted a completely coherent alternative view of what he called the flow of time, which is basically the torsion field, the ether, and how it affects chemical processes, nuclear processes, geological processes, star processes, how what makes stars shine. He put it together as a coherent theory. His papers are on the web. Just Google Kozarev, torsion field physics. You will have a ton of careful, documented science to read and to ponder as you look at what we're seeing in these images from NASA.
So what was developed, stumbled on, created, found, whatever, by these people is something that is also out there on Saturn.
Much older, much bigger.
Much older, but it's something that is so fundamental that it is the absolute power. We're talking about the absolute power here.
It is the unified field theory of everything, and you turn it into engineering, and you become God.
And potentially, which is what excited me tonight, and I'm going to let you go because I know you must be very tired after all of this, is that this is perhaps, if the media handle it properly, and I'm not sure if they will, but I hope they do, this is the biggest news story for decades.
It should be. But remember, there's a cover-up in place. It's going to be brave souls who look at these pictures and who independently can think a coherent thought without an authority figure telling them what to think and ask really probing questions. How can you have structured, repeating geometry in an environment, the rings of Saturn, where everything is moving at high velocities, there's shear effects, there's smearing, there should be no geometry, and we're seeing buildings of a humongous, gargantuan, Brobdingian size.
Things that look like massive gigantic, enormous skyscrapers, and the only reason we were able to see them is because of the conditions at the time the pictures were taken.
The shadowing, the once every 15-year equinox where the rings of Saturn are edge onto the sun, so even a slight bump gives you a nice long shadow. In essence, it was able to magnify Cassini's resolution by a factor of maybe 100. And that's why we're seeing this geometry at that low incidence grazing sun angle.
Which brings us to British hacker Gary McKinnon, of course, who you guys in the U.S. are very keen to get your hands on.
I think McKinnon's going to get a pardon from the President of the United States. And that will be another clue as to where Obama's really heading.
But you think that Gary McKinnon, when he did what he did, when he found what he found, found stuff of the kind that you've been talking about here tonight?
He found an archive documenting the secret space program, reposing in NASA's computers, which of course is where you'd put it. It doesn't mean that NASA's directly involved. It means they're keeping track. They're trying to emulate with dumb, stupid technology, like rockets, like Apollo and steroids, what these guys, whoever these guys are able to do with anti-gravity, anti-aging, unlimited energy, et cetera, torsion field physics.
So these people got themselves the key to everything, really. They have it. It's much more powerful than what we know, and the state of our technology would take a very long time to catch up with that. So we're in a chess game with them.
I think we're in a political chess game where let me back up. I was told by an intelligence agent who happens to be a rabid Republican, can I say that? That they, meaning the intel agencies, the operative agencies in the U.S. government, would prefer to lose a major American city to nuclear terrorism rather than let this technology out. That means acknowledge it exists. So we have a problem is that the other side, this third force, don't even have to use the technology. All they have to do is use the threat of making it public, because the name of the game is to destabilize the current world geopolitical power structure and replace it with something else.
So this is almost like a mother with a naughty kid. It's just the threat of force, really. It's the threat of what we got.
Yeah, particularly during the Apollo anniversaries. I mean, that is so overwhelmingly blatant. And it's in a form, when you keep striking major planets with huge things that make big scars, and you do it during the anniversary of humanity's big celebration, oh, look what we did. We went to the moon, and you're showing people that you did nothing. We can run rings around you, pun intended. That's power that communicates to those people.
This conversation, I think, to be continued, Richard, but, amazing. I think you've had a very good night here in Liverpool. I know that Liverpool will be kind to you, and I hope that we see you and your good lady Robin here again very, very soon. But a pleasure to meet in person. Let me shake you by the hand here in this very strange pit that we're recording this thing. But after 12 years at last, we meet, Richard. Thank you very, very much.
My pleasure.
My name is Howard Hughes, and this, On Location, is The Unexplained.